Hey, church, this is the pastor. Man, I usually start every message out by simply saying, are you glad you're in God's house today? And I love hearing the people say, yes, they're glad. But maybe today you just right there in your house, maybe you're glad to be in your house. Are you glad to be in your house? Just say yes there where you are. You know, we've been in this wonderful series entitled Pray, when we talked about how do we talk to God when we truly don't know what to say. And a lot of us are insecure about our prayer life, so we have just been marching through the disciples' prayer. And if you're insecure about your prayer life, I got good news for you. Jesus, when he started his public ministry, he chose 12 disciples, and they struggled with prayer. They were insecure, and so they went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's when he delivers what we refer to oftentimes as the Lord's Prayer, but really probably better titled the Disciples' Prayer. And we've looked over the last couple of weeks as we've marched through this prayer. We've gone from the idea of relationship, God is our Father, to big prayers, praying to God for his will to be done. Last week, we talked about praying for daily dependence. And today we're talking about praying about unforgiven sin or unresolved hurt. You know, we think about that. Oftentimes we carry heavy hearts through our lives and we just struggle with the burdens that we have. And a lot of times our heavy hearts, it's not about what has happened to us. It is about what we are holding in us. Let me say that again. A lot of times we have heavy hearts, not because of something that happened to us a year ago or a day ago or 10 years ago. It's what we're holding on inside of us, maybe an unconfessed sin or an unforgiven hurt. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about breaking the chains of unforgiveness, and we're going to know how to experience forgiveness. You know, I've been talking as we've journeyed through this disciples' prayer about these ships that we travel on. And one of our tech team put together this image. We'll just put it on the screen for you, because as we walk through this disciples' prayer, we're going to see relationship, worship, lordship, stewardship, fellowship, guardianship, and ultimately discipleship. And so as we think about that, I love that image when they showed it to me, that we all travel when we think about praying with God. We travel on those seven ships, and we just want to journey in such a way that we walk with God in a powerful and a real way. So let's look at what God's word says. When they said, Lord, teach us to pray, here's how Jesus responded. He says, this then is how you should pray. Relationship, here it is. Pray, our Father who is in heaven. Here's your worship. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We talked a couple of weeks ago about that's the hardest part right there. Your will be done. And then we said, on earth as it is in heaven. There's lordship, all right, that we have to learn to trust God. Here's verse 11. Looked at this last week, daily dependence. He says, give us today our daily bread. That's stewardship. And here's today, and forgive us of our debts. Notice this, we all want forgiveness, as we also forgive our debtors. That's the idea of fellowship. And then next week, we're going to look at this last phrase, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, I didn't have to look hard this week when I said, are there real benefits for us by offering forgiveness to other people? Didn't have to look hard, didn't have to look long. Man, just research after research showed up saying there are clear physical and mental and emotional benefits when we forgive other people. Let me just read a couple of things that happen to you. When you learn to forgive, your stress level goes down, your anxiety goes down, your depression goes down, and your relationships are ultimately improved. Here's another article. The American Psychological Association says, listen, when we look at people who are good at forgiving, their mental health always goes up. Here's another meta-analysis. They took 83 studies about people that had some 39,000 participants. And they said, are there things that we can see about these 39,000 participants from these 80 some odd different studies, research study that tells us that forgiveness is beneficial? And here's what they found, that people who were good at forgiving, people who are good at forgiving always said they had a greater sense of well-being. They had more life satisfaction. Why? Because they weren't chained to a burden or a past or a hurt or anything else. Then there's another study talks about it decreases stress and it increases your mental health. Man, so as you think about forgiveness, this is a real thing. And so when we think about this phrase, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I want you to know this isn't just a phrase that Jesus threw in. This is a hinge pin of our life. This is what really makes us function well and be able to release ourselves from past hurts or past sins and journey with God. And so as you think about that, we're going to talk today about the fact that unforgiven sin chains us to a guilty past, and unforgiven people in our lives chains us to bitterness. Let me say that again. Unforgiven sin chains me to the guilt of something I've done in the past, and unforgiven people, people who've hurt me that I don't forgive, what does it do? It chains me to bitterness. So here's the key. Forgiveness ultimately sets us free. So if you're sitting there today and you're struggling with forgiveness, let me just encourage you. I also want to encourage you, hang in here, because I ran across an incredible study that you say, well, I just can't forgive. There is a study out there that I'm going to share with you towards the end of the message that says, actually, forgiveness can be learned. And they gave a couple of practical principles that I will share with you at the end. If you are sitting here, maybe something happened in your childhood or a relationship or a previous relationship or something happens now and you cannot seem to forgive yourself or somebody else, then we're going to talk at the end of this message about how you can learn to forgive others. But let's start by talking about us. You know, if you're thinking about forgiveness, your first thought might have been that person, that man, that woman, somebody that just did something to me. But let me tell you, forgiveness doesn't start with them. It starts with you. I love what the psalmist said in this. He says, first of all, before we can forgive, we have to examine our own heart. Psalm 139 says, search me, O God. If you're there at your house, just say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. So forgiveness doesn't start with somebody else. It always starts with me. Forgiveness doesn't start with me saying, God, change somebody else. But instead, it's God saying, it's me saying, God, change me. Look at verse 4. He says, and see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. You know, I shared with you a few minutes ago that there are benefits of forgiving others in your health. But there are also benefits that you can find and you can see in several studies. When people feel forgiven, now here's the cool thing. They found that when people feel forgiven by others, they feel better and they do better. But it's even to a greater extent when we feel like we are forgiven by God. All right, so they looked at this, and here's what they essentially said. Perceived forgiveness by God causes people's stress again to go down, their mood to go up, and their overall life satisfaction. So when we think about that first phrase, and we're going to look at it a little more in depth here in a second, forgive us our debts. Man, that releases us to fully enjoy the life that God wants us to live. So as we think about it, I love that. Forgiveness starts with me looking at me. Look at Psalm 32. Here's a passage where it talks about the weight of unforgiven sin emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. I love what the psalmist says here. Psalm 32, verse 3. He says, when I kept silent, what happened? My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. Man, unconfessed sin ultimately crushes the soul. Then he goes on. And he says, for day and night you were heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. We know exactly what he's talking about there, right? Man, we live in Texas, and sometimes that heat shows up, and then you add a little more humidity than we're used to, and you're like, man, I'm just worn out. And that's what he says. Guilt, unconfessed sin does that exact same thing. It just saps your energy for your relationships, for work, for whatever. And then he goes on. He says, and then what happened? Then I acknowledged my sin to you, O Lord. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And notice what it says. And Lord, you forgave me of the guilt of my sin. Man, let me tell you, when we look at our own lives, there is not just a perceived benefit of feeling forgiven, but there's a real benefit of knowing we are forgiven. So, how to experience freedom of forgiveness? Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. Going to give you three thoughts today. We're going to walk through this. Thought number one is this: receive God's forgiveness. How do you receive the freedom of forgiveness? How do you experience it? Receive God's forgiveness through confession, because confession breaks the chain of guilt. Now, here's your thought. When God forgives you, guilt no longer has a voice. Did you get that? When God forgives you, guilt should no longer have a voice in your life. It shouldn't constantly be talking to you. Now, we're going to talk about how we can work through that, but here's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, he says, forgive us our debts, all right? Now, let me just start there. It starts with salvation. When we think about forgive us our debts, it's one thing to think about something I said yesterday or something I did yesterday that I need to confess to God to receive forgiveness. But ultimate forgiveness starts where? It starts with salvation. Then all the way back in the garden, Adam and Eve sinned. What's the first thing they did after they sinned is they hid from God. And there might be someone here today, maybe someone in your family, someone sitting on the couch with you today that you've been hiding from God. But I want you to know God is pursuing you with his salvation and his love. All the way back in the garden, he determined that he was going to send his son, his one and only son, to be born in Bethlehem, to live a perfect life, to be delivered into the hands of sinful men, to die on a cross, a sinner's death, which he wasn't a sinner, to be buried in a tomb, rise again the third day. You said, why would he do that? Because he wanted you to have the opportunity to simply, by faith, receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if you haven't done that, I want you to know that's the greatest forgiveness that you can ever get, is to simply pause and say a simple prayer. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from you. But God, you loved me in spite of me. God, you love me because of you. You love me so much that you were willing to send your one and only son to die on the cross for my sins. So God, by faith, I believe that he died on the cross for me. When he said, Father, forgive them, he was talking about me. I believe he died, was buried, rose again the third day. And I receive him as my Savior by faith. And I make him the Lord of my life. And then if you just prayed that prayer, you can simply say this right now. God, thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. And can I tell you what about God's salvation? Some of the neat things. God didn't forgive you once and then put you on a payment plan. He didn't say, yes, I'll forgive the sins you've committed, but from here on out, you've got to pay me back for every sin. No, you know what God said? He said, listen, if you want true forgiveness, just focus on 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Let me read it to you. I love this verse. He says, if we confess our sins, what happens? He is faithful. Now notice this, our job is to simply confess our sins. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to confess my sins? Obviously, it means to agree with God, but ultimately, it means owning your sin. God, I said it, I did it, I continue to do it, but I love this idea. If we will simply, on an ongoing basis, a daily basis, confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I love this thought. Just had written this down in my notes. Confession doesn't remind God of your sin. He already knows. It releases you from the guilt of your sin. I'll tell you, one of the best rhythms you can develop in your life is ongoing confession. It's almost like breathing. It's almost like your heart continues to beat. And so as I think about it, man, when I wake up in the morning, I go into my daily prayer, that adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Man, number two, after I've honored God and loved God and praised God for being an awesome, loving, amazing, awesome, powerful God, the next thing I do is say, and Lord, I confess the sins in my life. I confess some of the thoughts I had or the words I said or some of the things I did. And God, I just confess them to you. I own them. I agree with you that those are sin. I'm asking for your ongoing forgiveness. And so just develop that pattern in your life that every day you just wake up and when you go into your prayer time or before you go to bed at night, man, just start praying. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 103. He says, he did not treat us as our sins deserve. How did we deserve to be treated because of our sin? Just like Jesus was. But I love this. He says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquity. Man, God says, I'm going to remove it. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our transgressions from us. So here's your thought. God doesn't forgive you of your sin and then keep the screenshots that he can just show you. Remember this. Remember, we keep screenshots in our own mind, in our own heart, of past sins, but God doesn't. When you confess your sin, he doesn't treat you the way you deserve, but instead, he says he takes that sin and separates it from us, gives us so much forgiveness. It's as far as the east is from the west, and that's an amazing thought. Now, here's the beautiful thing. Once you become a Christian, as we talked about a few minutes ago, forgive us our debts. That's the first phrase in this verse we're looking at today. Then you get salvation. Then there's no more condemnation. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. But it starts with us. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I love what Paul does here. He says, therefore, there is, if you're at the house, everybody just say now. There's now, right now. If you are a Christian, there is right now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me explain it to you. Remember the woman at the well? The woman caught in adultery, that Jesus comes, he's walking there, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they bring this woman up. She's absolutely caught in the act of adultery, all right? Now, there's a lot of problems with this scene. They're trying to test Jesus, trying to catch him, and there's no dude, all right? If they caught her in the act of adultery, where's the dude? They should have brought them both. And then they said, Lord, the law says she should be stoned. What say you? And God and Jesus reached down. He wrote something on the ground. And I love this idea. They all just walked away. We don't know what he wrote on the ground, but he clearly just kind of threw dirt in their face from on the ground. And they walked away. Remember what Jesus said to the woman. He didn't say your sin doesn't matter. He didn't say that wasn't a sin. What he did say is, where are those who wanted to condemn you? Well, they're all gone. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, notice what happened. Forgiveness freed her from the chains of guilt to then allow her to live a life where she wouldn't fall back in that sin. Now, listen, true forgiveness isn't the freedom to go sin again. That's why Jesus said, go and sin no more. True forgiveness is no condemnation in being freed to overcome that temptation next time you face it. So thought number one, if we are going to experience the freedom that forgiveness gives us, one, we receive God's forgiveness. Starts with salvation, ongoing daily confession, realizing there's no condemnation and that none of us are perfect. Here's number two. If you're going to receive the benefits of freedom, release others. Just say that right there. Release others. Forgiveness breaks that chain that binds us to that bitterness and that anger and that hatred. A couple of thoughts, man. Forgiveness doesn't excuse what was done to you. It releases you from what was done to you. All right? Forgiveness, when you choose to release someone, to say, you know what, I'm going to forgive you. You can even say in your own mind, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to forgive you. But I will also tell you this, that if you are truly having a forgiveness conversation with someone, don't say, hey, I'm going to forgive you, but you really don't deserve it. Don't say, I'm going to forgive you because I'm so awesome. Just look them in the eye and say, hey, I forgive you. It's over. So that's the idea. Release others. Forgiveness breaks that chain of bitterness that is around our necks. Going back to our verse today, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." So here's the thought. Jesus makes the assumption that we're going to forgive people. Notice he says, as we have forgiven others. And that's exactly the way we want to live. Now, I told you earlier that I was going to share with you, they have found in the massive study, multi-site randomized controlled study, that there is a way to learn to forgive, that you can teach yourself. And so here it is. It's the word reach. R-E-A-C-H, and this is a model. You can actually just Google it, look it up. There's a workbook out there that you can walk through this, but let me just give you the idea. Here it is. Number one, the R in reach, if you're going to learn to forgive, recall the hurt. Recall that hurt. Just remind, acknowledge the hurt. Acknowledge it was painful. Acknowledge you don't ever want it to happen again. So listen, you're just writing it down. Say, this happened to me, and it hurt. Okay, so you're writing it down, putting it down. Here's the E. Empathize with the other person. Now, I want to be careful here because somebody said, no way, because they hurt me over and over and over and over again. And I want you to know there's some people that man, they don't deserve your forgiveness, but you need to forgive them. And so the next thing is this, empathize. Try to understand the offender's perspective, their perspective, even if you don't condone their actions. So here's the key. When you empathize with them, you feel sorry for them, but you don't condone what they did. So recall it. Empathize with them. Say, I don't know what you were going through or why you did it, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to give you more grace than you need or you deserve. Here's the A. Ready? Give an altruistic, that's the A, altruistic gift. Offer forgiveness as a selfless act, a gift to yourself and the other person. Just say, they don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to them anyway. That's just altruistic. I expect nothing in return. They haven't asked for my forgiveness. They certainly don't deserve my forgiveness, but I am going to choose to forgive them. Why? Because it releases me from the bitterness of what they did to me and how much I think about them and how much of my energy they consume me with. And it also just kind of lets them go. Here's the C, commitment. Make a conscious decision to forgive them again every time the memory comes up. Make a conscious decision to forgive them every time. Make that commitment. I thought about it again, I forgive them. I thought about it again, I forgive them. I thought about it again, I forgive them. And here's the H, hold on. That's the H, hold on. Recommit to forgiveness when negative feelings resurface. Just recommit, hold on, say, no, I'm holding on forgiveness. Because what happens, especially if you've developed a traffic pattern that maybe the hurt you're struggling with happened in your childhood or a decade or two decades ago, and man, you're in that pattern of every time that thought shows up that you get angry. Just you want to hold on, commit to forgive again, forgive them again. All right, don't say, listen, it didn't matter, but you just simply forgive them. And so that's the reach model, recall the hurt, empathize with them, altruistic gift of forgiveness, commit to keep on forgiving them, and hold on when the hurt show back up because you can learn to forgive. So hopefully that'll help you. I thought as I was just reading that study that, you know, a lot of times people say, I just can't forgive. That's a little hope for you. Maybe you can. Maybe you can, and with God's grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. I love what Paul says here. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. You say, why do you want to get rid of it? Because if I don't forgive, if I stay bitter, it's like, and you've heard it said before, it's like me drinking poison and hoping it will hurt them. It's not going to happen. Probably they're not even thinking about it. they're going on with life and you're just struggling with this. And look at what he says in verse 32. He says, be kind and compassionate. Instead, don't be bitter, don't be rage, don't anger, don't brawl, don't slander, and don't have a lot of malice in your life. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ had forgiven you and God had forgiven you. So as you think about it, how do I forgive? Exactly the way I expect God to forgive me. Exactly the way I want God to forgive me. So I want you to understand this. If we don't learn to forgive, bitterness, anger, guilt never stay small. They never stay small. They don't at all. I love in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells a story. Well, it starts with a question related to forgiveness. It's Peter. You always count on Peter to ask a real legit question. He says, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? And then Peter just tosses out a pretty solid number. He says, how about seven times? I'll do it seven times. That's just who I am, you know, Peter. I'm just a great guy. I'm a forgiving guy. I'm a gracious guy. So, Lord, how often? I mean, probably some of these other disciples around, they would forgive maybe once, maybe twice, maybe three, but I'm way better than them, and I say seven. And then remember what Jesus said, no, take it an affinity beyond that, a multiplier beyond that. And then Jesus tells a story. He says, let me tell you a story. There was a wealthy man who had a servant who owed him a massive sum of money. He brought the servant in and said, pay me back what you owe me. The servant said, be patient with me and I will slowly pay it back. It says that the wealthy person said, nope. And he says, I'm going to have you thrown in prison, your wife thrown in prison, your kids thrown in prison. I'm going to sell you basically off as slave to get my money back. He fell on his ground and begged, be patient with me. Then the wealthy man had grace on him. Said, okay, I feel sorry for you. I'm going to let you go. Start paying me back. And then it says that servant who had just received grace went out, bumped into someone that owed him a small amount of money, and he said, pay me back immediately. And the guy says, I can't do it right now. He uses the same words. He said, please be patient with me. And you know what that person did who had just received all the grace from the wealthy man? It says he choked him and said, I'm going to put you all in prison. And then notice it says the other servant saw what happened, went back and reported it to the original wealthy man, said, you know what that guy did to this man over here, owed him a small sum of money after you forgave him of all of this? Says he went out, basically choked a guy and threatened not to forgive him of a small debt. And so I love what Jesus said, don't be like that. So here's the danger. There's always a danger when Jesus tells that story. He says, here's your danger. There is a real danger of receiving grace but not being willing to extend it. There's a real, real problem if we receive grace but we don't extend it. See, the truth is, man, we want to forgive others as much as we want to be forgiven ourselves. So if I want God to forgive me every day, I need to be willing to try to do my best to forgive others each and every day. And so I want to receive forgiveness, but then at the same time, give forgiveness. Because all of us, according to Jesus' story, are like that servant who there's no way we could repay the debt that we owe God. None of us could. There's no payment plan in the world, if you started as a small child and lived to a long old age, that you and I could not pay God back for the sins that we've committed. So we want to be people that receive grace, but then also give grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. One of the reasons why we want to give grace, because here it is. See to it that no one falls short in the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up in you. So listen to this. Don't let it grow, because it will grow. Man, bitterness never stays small. And notice what happens, so that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So here's your thought. What you refuse to forgive today will multiply tomorrow. Let me say that again. What you refuse to forgive today will multiply tomorrow. But notice that what that verse also says. It says if you are sitting there at your home or in your car, wherever you are right now, at the office, and you are a bitter person, I will promise you, everybody sitting on that couch with you experiences it. Did you see what it says? To cause trouble and defile many. That if you are carrying this weight of bitterness and unforgiveness or even unconfessed sin, I will promise you, if you haven't received forgiveness and you haven't forgiven somebody else, you're probably taking it out in some way on those who are closest to you and those who love you. So here's the thought. Thought number one, Jesus said, receive God's forgiveness. Number two, he says, release others to forgiveness. And here's number three, then we can walk in freedom. Why? Because forgiven people are free people. Here's the thought. Forgiveness must be walked out, not just talked out. I want to say that. Forgiveness needs to be walked out. I need to learn to live it. Just talking about forgiveness, just reading a scripture about forgiveness, man, that doesn't do it enough. We have to walk it out. We have to say, man, I'm going to truly release them. I'm not going to say what they did was good. I don't have to pretend it didn't happen. I can create boundaries in my life that if they want to constantly come back and hurt me, man, I don't have to put myself back in that situation, but I want to release them. Why? Of that burden, because if I don't release them and forgive them, guess what happens? Bitterness grows up in me and it hurts the people I love the most. Notice what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. He said, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against anyone. Now, know this, and he says, and forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Notice what happens in that verse. Paul assumes there will be offenses, hardships, things that happen in our life. So Paul makes that assumption. Even in a church, in a family, at school, with friends, Paul doesn't assume everything's going to be perfect. He actually assumes the reality that there is going to be an offense. And he says, listen, but here's what you want to do. When the offense happens, make forgiveness the new normal. Did you get it? Paul says, listen, offenses happen, but we want to learn to live a life where offering forgiveness becomes my new normal. Because if it doesn't become my new normal, bitterness will. So I want to understand, Paul says, listen, as long as we are surrounded by humans, broken humans, there will be people that hurt us. There will be things that happen to us. There will be people that are mean to us. He says, listen, you want to forgive them just as God forgave you. And a lot of times you're forgiving them to release yourself, to unchain yourself from that burden of bitterness that carries us around. And so as we think about it, going back to that verse, we read it early on, man, from Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins. That's the way we want to be with other people. So here's your final verse today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the new creation has come. What is that new creation? Eternal life, forgiveness of all of our sins. The old has gone. Let's let it go. Just let it go. And the new is here. So as you think about what it means to truly be a good Christian, the kind of Christian that God wants us to be, is that we would walk in forgiveness. Forgiveness that we've received. We don't want to live with unconfessed sin because that chains us to guilt. But we also then want to forgive others. Why? Because if we don't, that chains us to bitterness. So here's the way we want to live. We want to live our lives set free, unchained to my guilty past and someone else's guilty action. Release the unconfessed sin, release the unforgiveness towards someone else, and we'll all be better for it. Let the old be gone and let the new come. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for just the opportunity to share about your grace and your love. Jesus, thank you for this amazing prayer, this disciples' prayer. Jesus, thank you for not leaving forgiveness out, nor just toss it in haphazardly, but you clearly showed us how it operates. Receive forgiveness, then give forgiveness. Let us be, as a church, a forgiving people. God, my prayer is that there are some that are sitting on couches or wherever they are today that they have just been holding on to bitterness. and it's hurting them, and it's hurting the family that they're with or the friends that they're with right now, God, I pray that this would be the day that they would be able to start releasing those burdens and bitterness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. God bless. Stay warm. Enjoy your house today. Hey, you know, today we talked about forgiveness, and in the middle of that message, I offered a salvation prayer. If you prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, do us a favor. Simply text YES to 77978. We would love to come alongside you and encourage you in your faith and give you some resources. So text the word YES to 77978 if you prayed that prayer. God bless.